I'm Okila Smith. In today's segment of The Working Life, we're going to talk about mentoring in the workplace. Most adults can identify a person who at some time in their life had a significant and positive impact on them. As more and more people in businesses embrace the concept of mentoring as a professional development tool, we're going to learn more about how to create a successful mentoring relationship with the help of our expert guest, Mary Abajay, an organizational development consultant and Washington area business leader. Welcome, Mary.
Well, thank you, Akilah. It's nice to be here.
Mary, what is mentoring?
Mentoring is, how the best way to describe it? Mentoring is about helping develop somebody else, either professionally or personally. And so mentoring is somebody who is usually older, always more experienced, and often quite more successful than you, who is going to give you their time, their energy, their wisdom, their expertise to help you develop yourself professionally or personally. And mentoring is about passing on and specialized knowledge. So in order to be a mentor, you have to have some specialized knowledge, either generally speaking, in an industry or an organization. And so the mentor is going to help work with you to share that knowledge and help you get to where you want to go within an industry, a profession, or an organization.
Who can be mentors?
Well, anyone can be mentors as long as they meet a couple of requirements. A mentor can be somebody who is a relative, a friend, a coworker, a colleague, a boss, a supervisor, a teacher, a coach, a husband, anybody who can actually has the experience and the wisdom and the desire to help somebody else achieve their goals.
How is that different? How is mentoring different from coaching?
That's a great question because they're both very popular in organizations today. Coaching is about a process, and it's also about skill development. So a coach is going to work with you to determine where you are now, where you want to be, and help you brainstorm some actions, solutions, and strategies to get there. They're going to be a sounding board, and they're just going to help you figure things out. A mentor does all that, plus that thing we talked about, that specialized knowledge. So a mentor really turns much more into an advisor. So a mentor is going to say to you, Akilah, here at Clear Channel, if you want to get to be a vice president at Clear Channel, here's exactly who you need to talk to. Here are the pitfalls you're going to find. They're going to give you that specialized inside knowledge.
Okay. So why are organizations turning to mentoring?
Organizations are turning to mentoring for a couple of reasons, and it definitely is on the rise. They're turning to mentoring because mentoring is very cost effective. Coaching is great and lots of organizations use it, but mentoring is free.
Right.
You know, once you set it up, it's free because remember, mentors don't get any personal gain from their mentoring. So they're doing it because it's free and cost effective. They're also doing it because as organizations have to compete faster, more globally and more leanly, with less, the ability to manage and transfer knowledge becomes paramount. And so the more you can actually get all your people really humming along, the better off you do it. And finally, they do it because it's a great way to keep talent in the pipeline. And young people today love to be mentored. So they're using it as recruiting, a recruiting tool and a retention tool. So it's a way to keep wisdom, keep knowledge, develop your people, all done very cost effectively.
Okay. So what makes a good mentor?
Oh, this is such a great question. Okay. What makes a good mentor? A good mentor needs to be more than just a successful individual. Okay, so you need the success, but it has to be more than that. A good mentor must also have the disposition and the desire to develop other people. So great mentors must be able to both talk the talk and walk the walk. I have to be able to show you how to be successful by being successful myself, mm-hmm. but I also have to be able to actually tell you how to do it and talk to you about it. So being a good mentor requires more than just experience. It requires that willingness and that dedication to actually do something for somebody else without any personal gain whatsoever, except the satisfaction of helping somebody. So some of the essential qualities are a desire to help others, a demonstrated skills in helping others, a commitment, relative experience, and a learning attitude. So there's other skills you need to have, but that's kind of what you want to look for in the beginning.
All right. So you mentioned that good mentors need to be skilled in developing others. What are some of these skills?
Yeah, when developing others, there's a certain set of skills that are going to come in really, really handy, and they're going to really separate the great mentors from the, you know, I forgot who you are mentor. You know, I met with you once and you were nothing, and you are mentor, you know, and I know you from. All right, so here's I would say the five biggies that you need to, the skills you have, listening. I know mentoring is about telling people how to do things well, But a good mentor can really learn how to listen, so they can really understand what that person is seeking, what's going on with that person, so that they can actually hone and craft the best advice. So listening is a huge skill. The other skill is powerful questions. If somebody is coming to you because they don't know how to do something, people will learn things better if they kind of come to the realization themselves. So right. Asking people really powerful questions helps them get clear about their actions. Thirdly, being able to tell a story. Being able to actually share your failures and your successes in ways that are honest, open, and illuminative can really help other people. The fourth skill I think you need is the skill to be able to help people shift perspectives. So someone will come in, they'll come in with a perspective of I can't do it, or that person sucks, or my boss is terrible, or this job doesn't work. And you need to help people get out of that defeatist perspective. And the final one, which is so important and so difficult, is the skill of truth telling. Being able to tell somebody the truth in a direct way, in a way that they can hear it, in a way that does the person good, is an art and a skill, and I recommend everyone learn how to be good truth tellers.
Makes sense. I'm really fond of the storytelling, just because usually when you have a mentor, if they're really successful, you want to hear about their life stories and the times that they failed, because it makes you feel like, you know, you're able to do it if they're able to do it, kind of thing.
Well, and you're exactly right. And think of everything that's conveyed in a story. It's one of the most succinct economic ways to actually share information, because so much is embedded in a story.
Right.
It's a wonderful way. I know that NASA does a lot of mentoring through storytelling, and it's a great way to really share knowledge and wisdom.
Okay. We're talking to Mary Abagee about mentoring. Mary, you've given us the skills that mentors need to help develop others, but what makes a good protege? Are there any specific characteristics or attitudes that will help a protege learn?
Ah, great question. This is really crucial because it's a two-way street. This relationship is a two-way street. So just like a good mentor, a good protege holds 50% of this relationship.
Right.
So they also need to have good skills and sensibilities. And remember, and this is also really important, because remember, the mentors aren't gaining anything from this. So a bad protege is going to be it's going to make a bad relationship. So the things I want proteges to be able to do is they really need to be committed to expanding their capabilities. So in other words, they have to be committed to what they're doing here. Don't waste your mentor's time just to have coffee or just because you want to say he's your mentor. If you really want to work with a mentor, you need to be really clear and really committed about what your goals are for this relationship, okay?
Okay.
You need to be willing to accept feedback, even things you don't want to hear. You need to be willing to communicate. You need to be ready, willing, and able to meet with them on a regular basis. And you have to be open and willing to try new ideas. Nothing is going to frustrate a mentor quicker than if they give you their hard-earned wisdom and the best that they have, and you don't take up any of their ideas.
Right.
That's going to frustrate them, and the relationship will die and wither.
That makes sense. What are some of the essentials of creating a successful mentoring relationship? Can you describe how to conduct a successful mentoring mm-hmm. relationship?
Yeah, and what I'm going to say is there's two major points here. The first way to conduct a successful relationship, and this is whether it's a formal program or an informal program. Okay, some organizations have formal programs. Some have just informal practices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first thing is you have to realize that this is a shared responsibility. A successful mentoring relationship means that both parties are coming to this relationship sharing responsibility for maintaining it and making sure it's working. The second thing you want to make sure that you do is you really have to do, this is a coaching term, but you have to make sure you design the alliance. And what I mean by this is you have to have explicit conversations about what this relationship is going to look like,
mm-hmm.
what its purposes are, what the goals are, and how it's going to work. For example, you want to have explicit, and this feels really weird because people don't really do this, but if you do it, it's going to make all the difference in the world. I want you to have explicit discussions about contact and response time. How often can I contact you? Are you a right away responder? That sort of thing. How often are you going to meet? How are you going to meet? In phone, on person, monthly, weekly, yearly, for an hour, 6 hours, a retreat, a weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Really have these conversations. Confidentiality is huge, especially if your mentor is part of your organization. You need to know what stays in Vegas or what doesn't stay in Vegas, right? You have to be very clear on the focus of your relationship. I want you, Akilah, to mentor me because I want to learn how to be a DJ or whatever it is. Be really clear, and also be clear about how you want feedback and how you're going to be accountable to each other for what you say you're going to do. I promise you, it's going to feel awkward to have those conversations, but if you have them and both parties feel invested and are both invested in maintaining kind of the structure and the ground rules, you'll have a great chance for this to be successful.
Okay. So what if your mentor is not your supervisor? I'm thinking about formal mentoring relationships in an organization where your mentor may not be your supervisor or even in the same chain of command. Would this pose a conflict?
You know, sometimes it does. So it's very important to really do this as openly as possible and as thoughtfully as possible. I want to just make sure our listeners remember that the manager's role is the manager's role in employee development is always paramount to the mentor's role and should not be replaced by a mentor. A managing and mentoring so is an additional developmental enrichment opportunity. Okay, managers are responsible for professional learning and for monitoring performance. Mentors are responsible just for the supplemental sort of long-term perspective, extra help, okay? So if you're working in it with an organizational mentor in your organization, if possible, it's a great idea to have the mentor and the supervisor at least talk once, or at least have every party aware. You don't want to sandbag anybody. You don't want to come to your boss and saying, my mentor says this, my mentor says that, you know, so you don't want to do that. You want to make sure the boss knows you're doing it so that when your mentor suggests enrichment activities, you can go to your boss and say, you know, so my mentor and I were talking about this, you know, what do you think? That sort of thing. You want to make sure it's an open relationship.
No can fun. Your boss be your mentor?
Your boss can be your mentor. And many people's bosses are their mentor. You know, the only caveat to that is, don't expect your boss to be your mentor.
Okay.
Because not all bosses are mentor material, but absolutely. So one of the first places you should look
is your boss. Okay. How does someone find a mentor if they're looking for one?
There's some outside organizations that you can do, some professional associations. You can also go to the Service Corps Retired Executives. But one of the best places to look is within your organization or within your industry. Find people who you really, well, first your boss, as I just said, your boss might be a great one. But look for people whose career you really admire and respect, a career whose trajectory is one in which you would like to have. Okay. And just approach them. People are flattered. People want to help.
Oh, okay. So what are some tips for organizations that want to institute a formal mentoring relationship?
Be flexible and inclusive when matching mentor and protege. This is like any relationship. It's all in the magic, baby. It's the chemistry between the two. So forcing matches is not good. So be flexible around that. Ensure that the participants really want to do this. I see a lot of organizations set this up and people just want to check it off on their box that they did this. Mm-hmm. That's just a recipe for disaster. So make sure that people are motivated to do this. Provide some skill building and some structure around the beginning. So really help people understand what it's like to be what a good mentoring relationship looks like. I mean, I do a lot of these workshops for organizations and they're really fun. It really helps the organizational participants do this. And finally, evaluate the program and incorporate feedback. Your people will tell you what works and what doesn't work. So don't be afraid to ask because, as I said, a good mentoring program is a cost-effective way to develop talent and keep people in the pipeline.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Mary Abajay for joining us. If you would like to learn more about mentoring, please visit the website at www.workingwisdom.blogspot.com. I'm Okila Smith. Have a great day.